Well, we are beginning a new sermon series. We just started last week called Intercultural. And we are looking at what it means to explore the challenges, the opportunities of growing into an intercultural church that honors and glorifies God. And today, the message that I prepared for you, I've entitled it A House of Prayer for All Nations, A House of Prayer for All Nations. And if you have your Bibles along, you can turn over to Mark 11. Mark 11, verses 15 through 19. I think I have the passage up on the overhead as well. Mark 11, verses 15 through 19. Hear the word of the Lord. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. For they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. Well, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word to us today. And I pray, God, that you would make our hearts attentive, that our minds would be open to what you have to impress upon us today, God, that we would hear your word and mix it with faith and be obedient to what you're doing and saying to us as a church and as individuals, God. So we bless you and we thank you for this time to look into your word. And I ask your blessing on this message for Christ's glory. Amen. Well, get your pigeons, get your turtle doves, get your CD, get your t-shirts, get your popcorn. You know, the Christian tradition in which some of us were raised in, from time to time had visiting ministry groups or individuals who would come and they would share drama or music with the church on a Sunday morning. And as you can imagine, these groups would have maybe a CD or an album or some ministry merchandise to sell, yet at many local churches, they weren't allowed to do this. Well, why is that? Well, the rationale came from Mark 11, the passage I just read, and it went something like this. If Jesus didn't like it when folks sold their products around the temple, therefore we shouldn't sell stuff around the sanctuary. Now, I can't say there's a super strong parallel between the courts of worship in first century Judaism and the lobby of a present day Baptist church in North America. But one thing is for sure, the Lord doesn't want us to corrupt worship in the church with kind of over the top marketing and selling of products. And every time you go through the church lobby, someone's hitting you up for Amway or something else. I don't think that honors the Lord. That being said, I personally don't mind it if we've invited a Christian artist to come to minister to us and they want to sell some of their CDs, for instance, after the service, and they do it in a respectful manner. We set up a table, a book table, or whatever. I don't think that we are compromising the integrity of our worship here at Still Heights. We want to support these Christian ministers as well. And in Jesus' day, don't think that the people selling doves and pigeons for sacrifices and changing Roman money into Jewish currency to pay the temple tax was the problem either during the Passover pilgrimage. After all, you had people who were coming long distances and caring for doves and pigeons and lambs and goats along their journey would have been troublesome. And when they could just purchase them when they got to Jerusalem at the temple. But it was likely the coercive selling and the unfair practices of some of the money changers that began to incite Jesus' holy zeal on that day when he cleared the temple. However, I think there's even more to this story than maybe the first impression you get in that first reading when Jesus cleared the temple. And we're going to look at that this morning. And I believe it's tied to God's heart to form for himself a holy people made up of worshipers and followers of Jesus from all the nations. I believe God saying, let the nations come and glorify my name. And so as we read in our passage, Jesus displays God's holy discontent towards the worship malpractices in the Jerusalem temple at that time. And quoting from Isaiah 56:7, he says, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? And then in Micah 4, verses 1 through 2, we see this echoing of God's desire for the nations to come to his house and worship him. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says through the prophet Micah. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. And as I said in the first service, that was the first account of live stream in the Bible. The people will stream to it, and many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. Well, God wants the nations to come. It's his heart for that is impressed upon the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. And when you look at this passage from Micah, the Isaiah 56:7 passage that Jesus quoted about house of prayer for all the nations, you see that this prophetic teaching is indicating God's house is open to foreigners, to Gentiles who bind themselves to the Lord and want to worship and pray to him. God was it never in the Old Testament for people who truly were seeking Yahweh was there a prohibition against them worshiping God. That was God's desire all along. So Jesus also quotes from Jeremiah 7:11 here when he says, you have made my house into a den of thieves. And in Jeremiah's day, God judged Judah because they were mistreating foreigners. They were mistreating the fatherless and the widow. They were shedding innocent blood. They were worshiping other gods. And these false worshipers would come to the temple on the day of worship and they say, whoa, we're safe. We're in the safety zone. If you've ever played some kind of game like tag or dodgeball and you get into the safety zone, nobody can touch you there. Well, God said, hey, I've been paying attention to you. I've been watching what you're doing, and you're turning my temple into a den of robbers and thieves with your hypocritical and poor worship practices and just the way you're living your life and the days that you don't come to this house and worship. And there's a lesson for us to learn there that God calls us to come. God forgives us when we confess our sins, but you know, there's so much more to being a follower of Jesus than just coming to church on Sunday and worshiping the Lord, but then not even practicing what you believe, living like you believe Monday to Saturday. That doesn't honor the Lord. And in fact, he considers it as thievery, or you're robbing from God what is rightfully his, and that is your honor and glory, his honor and glory in your life. So when we look at the bigger context of Jesus' clearing of the temple event, I believe that the scriptural record is showing us that Jesus is not just upset about some inappropriate practices of commerce corrupting worship in the temple, but he's likely even more upset about the fact that the Gentile nations have been barred from worshiping Yahweh. They're stuck in one part of the temple, Herod's temple back in the first century, this massive structure that had this huge court of the Gentiles, but people were stuck there, and that's where the Gentiles, as far as the Gentiles could go, they couldn't go into the inner courts of the temple. And I believe that this blocking, this prohibition of the Gentiles, believers, being able to enter into the courts of the Lord was something else that was on Jesus' heart that day when he cleared the temple. In fact, there were even signs in Greek and Latin, not in Hebrew, because the Jews could just go freely into those inner courts. But the Gentiles who read Greek and Latin, and these signs were posted in the temple that read, "Keep out," and to warn them that they were non-Jewish and thus they were not allowed to enter into the sacred space beyond the courts of the Gentiles. Now, two of these "keep out" signs have survived to the present day, and the most complete of the two is the one up on the overhead, and it was discovered at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem in 1871, and essentially reads, "No alien may enter within the balustrade around the sanctuary." That balustrade was like a fence or a guardrail that prevented the Gentiles from entering into those inner courts of the sanctuary. May enter the sanctuary and the enclosure. Whoever is caught, this is on the inscription, whoever is caught on himself shall be put blame for the death which will ensue. It's a capital punishment. But we don't read that in the scriptures about Gentile believers being executed for coming and wanting to worship the Lord. So the great sadness that Jesus observed that day wasn't so much the rows of products and the price gouging, but there was no access, there was no room for the Gentiles and the outcasts to come. And isn't it interesting that in the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. And he says what it does is it breaks down the dividing wall between the Jew and the Gentile so that they can come to Christ. And whether Paul was referring to this temple balustrade, this temple wall, I don't know. But it really brings that passage to life, and we can understand it in a better historical light, that through the gospel, the dividing wall has come down. And that holds true in the church today, that these racial walls that are so easy to put up, or these socioeconomic walls, or whatever the walls may be, that the gospel just levels those so that we can come together as one people. So this place of worship should have been a place where all the nations could come and go up to the house of the God of Jacob and worship him. Now, there's a lot of factors that converged that day when Jesus cleared the temple. And I believe Jesus was also foreshadowing the ushering in of the new covenant. The new covenant that didn't require a whole Levitical sacrificial temple system. And even when Jesus was walking into Jerusalem that day from Bethany, he passed a fig tree and he cursed this fig tree that wasn't producing fruit. And even though it was out of season, and people think, why was Jesus so hard on that fig tree? Well, the reason was is a foreshadowing of the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem because of the coming of the new covenant, but even more so, it had become a corrupt system of worship and God was ending it. And that happened in 70 AD, and the temple has never been rebuilt to this day. But in the end, Jesus states his petition and his discontent very clearly. He says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. Oh, that Still Heights will become a house of worship, a house of fellowship and prayer for all nations. And I'm not just referring to this sanctuary or this building, but the people of God this multi-ethnic city on a hill operating in fellowship and serving together with our various gifts and various experiences and testimonies of Christ coming together like we learned about last week at the church in Antioch, which was this multicultural metropolitan church that God used in a powerful way to just springboard the gospel in that first century into the Gentile world. Well, the importance of prayer. Let's look at that a little bit in the remainder of the sermon. In Jeremiah 29, 12, 13, we read, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." All your heart. God is not looking for the leftovers of our lives. He wants the first fruits. He wants the first fruit of our desires to be directed towards Him who made us, our Creator, in His image. So why does Jesus emphasize prayer as essential to the church? Well, first of all, we're acknowledging that we want God's will to be done, just and His name to be glorified, just as Pastor Jamal led us in our congregational prayer earlier, just bringing us into the throne room of God, so to speak, by the grace of Christ, and that we can access Him now through His blood that was shed on the cross. We have access into that inner room. No more walls again. No more dividing curtain. And at its very elemental, very basic, it's Abba, Father, I need you. Abba, Father, help me. Think of a child dependent upon their father for help. And when the child calls out, does the father give him a snake or a scorpion? No. No, the father's love comes running after us. Like we sang about, the goodness of God runs after us. It's like the father in the prodigal son came running after his son. And God calls us, He calls us to prayer. Fresh wind, fresh fire, Jesus, fill me, fill this church, fill our worship, fill our mission. It doesn't take very long for a spiritually discerned person to enter into a church and realize determine whether this church is walking with the Lord as a Spirit-filled church. For instance, have you ever woke up on a winter morning, okay, and you kind of swing your feet out the edge of the bed and you touch your toes down on the floor, and it's very cold, and you know right away that in your house or your apartment, something's gone wrong with the heating system, and it's because you can just feel it in the air. There's a chill. And it's an unsettling feeling when your house starts to grow cold. I mean, you only can warm up so much of it by, you know, firing up the oven. It's cold outside, it's minus 30, and your heater is not working. Welcome to Canada, right? Welcome to Edmonton. But spiritually speaking, it's a cold, dark world that we live in, and it seems to be getting colder and darker spiritually. And when we pray, we say, "Lord Jesus, come." We don't want to be a lukewarm church. We want the glory and the honor of the nations to come as we're walking together in the warmth and the light of the Lamb who's lit His lamp for us so that we can follow Him. Oh, we want the Spirit of God to just fire up our lives and bring the heat and the warmth of the gospel into our church, the love of the gospel. So when we pray together, we're acknowledging our dependency upon God. We're positioning ourselves for God's will to be done. That's part of prayer. We're entering into the presence of God. He's drawing us closer, just like in that Jeremiah 29 passage that I read just a few minutes ago. We don't draw God to ourselves by the sheer, you know, power of our will. I'll draw the Lord to me. No. God draws us to Him, and then He does His work. Imagine for a moment, okay, you owned a cottage by the lake, and you were going to park your boat in the boathouse, okay? So, well, you hitch the winch line from the boathouse onto the front of your boat, and you turn on the winch. You don't pull the shore and the boathouse closer to you in the boat, do you? No, the boat gets pulled closer to the shore and the boathouse. Well, when we come into prayer, God is drawing us into His house, into His presence, into His dwelling place, into that inner throne room, that place of grace. And that's why Jesus said that His house is to be a house of prayer to all the nations, so that God can do His work in us and form us into the people that we are to be. We don't pull God closer to us through our prayers. No, it's the other way around. He draws us into His house, into His dwelling place through prayer, and He wants His house, i.e. the church, to be hot, not cold. Four brothers and sisters are praying in Jesus' name, and that there's fire, there's spiritual fire in that church, and lives are being changed, and sin is being burned out of people's lives by the refining fire of the Holy Spirit as we dwell together in Jesus' name, and as God does His deeper work in our lives, in the inner sanctum, in the private land or the private room of our lives of prayer. Oh, that God would fill us, that He'd fill our families, our fellowship with His peace, with His presence, with His power. And just start. Oh, God, oh, Abba Father, I need You. Draw me into Your presence. Hear our prayer, oh Lord. Hear our prayer today. Make Still Heights into an intercultural house of prayer for all the nations, and for Your glory. Amen. Well, it's a real joy to have you here with us today, Emmanuel.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. And you and Francine have been at Still Heights for how many years now?
Now it's 4 years and above, like 4 years and 3 months, 5 months.
Okay, yes. Great.
Yeah.
And you have three children. You have Naomi, Deborah, and Moses.
Yeah, yeah. I get two kids when I'm here in this church.
Yeah, yes. So both Deborah and Moses were born here,
yes,
in Edmonton.
Yes, on this church.
Yeah, yeah. While you were here at this church. Yeah,
yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
So to begin with, why don't you share a little bit with us about your years in Africa and some of the countries that you lived in.
I born in Congo.
Okay.
My dad is born in Congo, my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
But me, I live on like four countries.
Four countries.
Yes. I live in Congo where I born.
Yeah.
I live in Burundi.
Yeah.
I live in Rwanda.
Yeah.
I live in Kenya.
Yeah. And now you're in Canada.
Now in Canada. Five countries I live in.
So when you were living in Africa, in those countries, what did God teach you about in terms of the importance of prayer?
Yeah, importance of prayer, it's many things.
Right.
Because when you pray, it's like you are near of God. Mm-hmm. That is very, very important for prayer. Where you are praying,
right,
you are far from sin. Like I start praying when I was young.
Right.
That is, it's my protection, mm-hmm, when I was young until now.
And there was probably some things that you experienced growing up and into your young adulthood where you had to trust God for,
yes,
safety from violent people.
Yes.
Even for food and for your health.
Yes. I started grade one.
Yeah.
I praying until now. So
yeah.
When I'm growing,
right,
I pray. So it's like I told you, it's like protection,
mm-hmm,
for me.
Yeah. It's like the Bible says that we're in the shadow of the Almighty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that prayer covering.
Yeah. Prayer is covered.
It's about communicating with God too, right? So God communicates to us primarily through His Word.
Yes.
But He also, we communicate to Him.
Yes.
Through prayer.
It's, you know, if you are praying,
yeah,
it's like you build a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Like me and you.
Yeah.
If I will not communicate to you right. more times.
Right.
You are a friend, but there is a limit.
Right.
But if I'm connecting with you more times, many times, so you, the friendship is gonna be close.
Yes.
It's like God.
Yeah.
If you are praying,
yeah.
continuing,
yeah.
the relationship with God is gonna be close.
Yeah.
And then if you are praying, mm-hmm. you are faithful on the God.
Yes.
If you are praying, mm-hmm. it's like you are friend with God.
Wow. And so we can pray individually with God, right?
Yes. Every Christian, mm-hmm. it must
yeah.
to have private place for praying.
Yeah.
It's your connecting from God.
Mm-hmm.
And then the church mm-hmm. is the place everyone coming to worship, to right. praise
yes.
God. But your relationship with God
yeah.
must be private.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we need that private, intimate time with God, experiencing God's leading, speaking into our lives.
Yes.
Now, you talk about corporate prayer. Yes. I know over the last several years, you have a life group on Saturday nights.
Yes.
And when it wasn't shut down with COVID.
Yeah.
And you would come here and lead a prayer meeting. And not just a half an hour prayer meeting.
Yes.
I would be finishing up
yes.
my sermon or something yeah. at about 8 o'clock. Yeah. And here's Emmanuel and friends of yours and some people from the church. And you would come and you pray for
yes.
hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are praying outside the church yeah. or our homes.
Yeah.
But the congregation for our prayer is
yeah.
powerful.
Yeah, it is.
Because if we are to meet together
yeah.
for praying.
Yeah.
Even God say, if two people come together, even Him is going to come
yeah.
to be with them,
yeah,
to
Jesus
pray.
Name. Yeah.
So that is why really Saturday, we encourage everyone
yeah.
to come to pray.
Right.
Because prayer, team prayer is
right.
powerful than one.
Yeah.
If we are praying together like as for Saturday, really God was answering our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I know many things here.
Yeah.
The time we started to come to praying Saturday,
yeah.
really there is many things change.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you guys pray. Jesus said that His house, the house of God, is to be
yes.
a house of prayer for the nations.
Yes.
And you guys are coming and praying, and sometimes I've prayed with you too, and
yes,
prayed
really.
Together. And there, you're right, there's a power of the Holy Spirit as we come together in Jesus' name and lift up our praises and our petitions to God. I commend you,
yes,
Emmanuel,
yeah.
for your steadfast, your persistence in prayer. I know, like there's times through the years, it's minus 25 degrees out there, it's snowing, it's 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, and Emmanuel's showing up in the parking lot. To pray.
Mm.
And you're a blessing to this church, Emmanuel.
Yes. Bible say, pray continually.
Yeah, pray without ceasing.
Without stop.
Yeah.
Because it's our communication,
yeah.
it's our relationship with
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
So really we appreciate for opening for us
right.
to come to prayer.
Right.
I know here we are Canada, we are immigrant. So
right.
it's very hard to get any the place to come. We can go to worship. We can
right.
go to pray like private.
Right, in private,
you know?
Yeah.
Yes, but really right. we appreciate.
Yeah.
We are saying thank you. Thank
yeah.
you, Pastor. Thank you, your others.
Right.
Really, we appreciate for open for us because I know the relationship with us, with God,
yeah.
really is very good. When you finish your work at 8 p.m. and then you come for us, we are very happy when you see you. We encourage everyone
yeah.
to come to pray because it's good. Mm-hmm. Let's say like that, to come together like yeah. church, to Amen. Be together.
Well, we want Still Heights to be a house of prayer. And really? For the nations.
Yes.
And
yes.
we know yes. that the house yes. is just a metaphor in scripture of yes. the church, and it's not just tied to a building.
Yes.
But it is good to come together in safety and the comfort even from yes. minus 25 outside yes. and pray together in the sanctuary.
Yes. Yes.
And I know that those prayers are making a difference in God's kingdom,
yes.
and the church will grow and prosper as people pray. Emmanuel, thank you so much for sharing with us
yes.
about your part of your story,
yes.
and God bless you and Francine and your children, and we're just so happy to have you part of Still Heights Baptist Church. And why don't you pray for us? Why don't you pray for the church as
yes.
we close?
Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to come together with my pastor. Thank you for this evening you give opportunity to share these words. Thank you for this church. Let the Holy Spirit come on this church. Let the revival coming on this
Amen.
Church. Let all the members of church be on the Holy Spirit. Let Holy Spirit lead our leader. Let Holy Spirit lead our members. Let Holy Spirit come for us to help to understand what God we need for us. Thank you, Jesus. I know you are mighty God. I know you're gonna do many things for us. Let the church grow up. Let the whole nation coming to worship God. Let the whole nation coming for this church to praise, to pray, to dance for church, to dance for God. Urakoze mana uyu mugoroba uyu munsi. Uri Imana ikomeye, uri Imana ikwizerwa no kwiringirwa. Ni wowe Imana idukunda kandi twitayeho. Ndasengera itorero, ndasengera abayobozi, ndasengera kino gihugu kugira ngo umwami ukomeze ukingura imiryango, ijwi ryawe rikomeze rize muri twe, kandi ijwi ryawe rikomeze ryumvikane mana. Ni wowe Imana yacu, ni wowe Imana twizera, ndazi neza kuri kumwe natwe, kandi ukomeza udufata ukuboko, kandi ukomeza udushorere. Urakoze mwami, ni wowe tubisabye, kandi ni wowe twinginze mu izina rya Yesu. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Emmanuel, for living your life of faith so genuinely before us. It truly blesses us. Stand with us as we close with "Hear Our Praises from the Heavens to the Nations."
Danger.
Conclude our service. Well, I want to encourage you to talk to Pastor Ben or Pastor Bonnie about getting in on the mentoring mayhem in May and pray about that and see if the Lord is directing you to be a mentor here at Still Heights. Well, God bless you, Still Heights, and may the grace and the peace of Christ be upon you and your families. May you walk in His ways, in the counsel of His word, and in the power of His Spirit this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.